I'm going to spend the next 25 minutes or so trying to convince you that if you have a day job, you're a success. Welcome to episode 16 of The Break Breakdown. I'm Courtney, and today's topic for this episode is all about anti-capitalism and the anti-capitalist day job. And I just want to start out and disclaim this isn't a political podcast, except for the fact that everything is political. And when I'm saying political, what I mean is that policy based on the structures of our society have real life consequences in everyday life. So everything's political because everything that we interact with is coming from a policy made by the body politic. What I'm not doing in this episode is making an audio meme. You know, this isn't a meme on Facebook. I'm not. The only Facebook group I can think of right now is all the AOC hate Facebook groups, whatever. They're all Russian bots or whatever, bots, fake people, and then real people get caught up in them and it's a whole mess. And anyway, just watch The Social Dilemma and read the book 10 Reasons to Delete Your Social Media Accounts Now by Jaron Lanier, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. But the point is, this isn't politics as in immature politics. This is a discussion about anti-capitalism art and how having a day job is not a failure, but a success. And I have to back it up to be able to prove that to you and to convince you of that. I have to back it up to capitalism, the C word. So just to get some perspective on this, and again, I'm going into the artistic zone, okay? So just come with me into the politics zone for a hot second. In 2015, like 5 years ago, I did not have an issue with capitalism, okay? This is like a second ago. I was building a workshop with one of my best friends called Dream Set Make. Maybe you came to one of our workshops or you're on my email list because of that workshop and the newsletter that we would send out for it. And we were like, hey, we're entrepreneurs. Like, we are absolutely capitalists, like totally fine. But like, we believe in a conscious capitalism. And I remember Kara, my business partner, and I'm one of my closest friends, we said like one of our big goals for the company and the brand was that if we had employees, we would be able to give them health insurance. Like, that was a goal. And that shows you, I mean, to me, that like absolutely underlines how capitalism has failed. The fact that us as two young business owners who wanted to make it, we would be like, oh, we are going to give our employees a basic human right because their government doesn't give it to them. So that's step number one. But I'm bringing this up because I want you to know that I've come to this whole thought process really thoughtfully. I've invested a lot of my time and intention in the past 5 years specifically in local and national and global politics and learning and realizing that I don't actually believe in capitalist values, even though I would have said to you, like, of course I do. Like, that's why America's a superpower. Like, okay, let's break down the idea behind a superpower. You know, there are a lot of rabbit holes we can go down, but I'm going to try to focus. So probably you're thinking, well, Courtney, if you're not a capitalist, what are you? I am a democratic socialist. As I say that, you're probably thinking Bernie Sanders. Guess what? I love him. He's absolutely an incredible thinker and leader and humanitarian, I would say. He gave a speech in 2015 when he started his run for president in that Democratic primary that basically like made me realize that what I had been believing in had never been represented in a true form. The values that I held were not values held up by capitalism and neoliberalism, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Again, I'm not going down to the weeds. But the reason I'm bringing up Bernie is because I think he's so current. He's so like He's so happening now. This 78-year-old man is like totally hot. He's just obviously in our conscience because he's consciousness because he's been around in the public scene. But he's not like the first democratic socialist in America at all. And that was news to me a couple years ago. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize all these famous thinkers and artists and writers and scientists were democratic socialists too. So people like James Baldwin, Helen Keller, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Albert Einstein, Martin Luther King. When you look into history, you actually see democratic socialism rising with capitalism. And it becomes this alternative that we pick up when capitalism needs to be saved from itself. So, all right, so let's get back to capitalism. And again, I promise you with my full heart that we will get to art in a second. So let me say off the bat, maybe there's a conscious capitalism out there. Maybe there's a way. You know, Elizabeth Warren declared herself a capitalist during the 2020 Democratic primary, even though she's also, you know, a kind of categorized as a progressive. So, you know, like there could be something there. I'm not saying that I'm not willing to have my mind changed. You know, 5 years ago, I would have said the same thing. I would have said, yeah, I'm a capitalist. I did say I was a capitalist. But I just haven't been convinced yet that capitalism actually really works for the people that it's supposed to serve. So getting back to capitalism, it's in the name. This is something that Craig told me. He heard it somewhere and he was like, it's so simple. I can't believe it's so simple, but it is. But if you're looking at capitalism versus democratic socialism, capitalism centers capital, socialism centers the social. So capitalists believe that the cornerstone of the system is economic power. Socialists believe that the cornerstone of the system is people power. Like that's it. It's literally just the difference between the underlying value of the system. The system values X. That's it. So if the underlying value of the system is money, then it can't be people and vice versa. It can only have one priority. The system can only function with one priority at a time. So democratic socialist values have, you know, when they're valuing the social, have created things like roads and clean water and libraries and schools, things that don't intrinsically make money. And capitalist values have created the stock market and credit cards and obsessive compulsive consumerism and social media. Okay, so before I get like way swept away with my own excitement slash disgust slash a billion aha moments I've had over the past 5 years or so, let me tell you why this matters for the artist. The arts and the artists, I'm not sure if you've been in America long, but I've been here for a few decades. The arts and artists are not supported in capitalism. The National Endowment for the Arts, which is the government, I guess, arts endowment, it's in the name, is basically non-existent. Like it's basically non-existent when Democrats are in control, and then it completely goes away when Republicans are in control. And it's just like, it's like 0.04% of the budget. Like there's nothing there. I think they give like $400 to someone once. I mean, that's an exaggeration. I have no idea, but I do know that it's basically non-existent. There's no funding. It's the first thing to go. I mean, arts programs are the first thing to get cut at high schools, right? They're not cutting the football team. They're not cutting, I guess I don't really know what else, the basketball team. What other teams are there? I'm like, what else happens in high school other than dance class? That was my high school. So arts programs are the first to get cut. And art, this is the other thing, art for kids, for children, is often a privilege. It's not a right. It's not something that everyone has access to. It is kept away from groups of children and because they just don't have the access, because it's not It's not a value that we have put at the forefront of our capitalist system. And at the same time, people would go nuts if there wasn't music or paintings or theater or film or TV or comedy or dance. Like, if we didn't actually have these artistic outlets, if we didn't have something beautiful to look at or listen to or escape into, people would lose it, like, more than we already have during this time. And why this matters is because capitalist thinking, we think as artists that it's just out there, like, oh gosh, the government doesn't understand us, society doesn't understand us, like, they should fund the artists, blah, 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 blah. But that capitalist thinking has actually framed our own thoughts about ourselves as artists and the work that we do. We have completely internalized the capitalist talking points in regard to our artistic work. We've completely internalized it. So tell me if you think this resonates, okay? Number one, this is an internalized capitalist talking point that you may have had as an artist. Number one, I must make money as a direct result of my work to be considered a professional. Number two, independent work means I'm either a hack or an iconoclast, meaning like someone who just likes to be contrary. Like, just, I'm just going against you because, like, I just want to be a pain in the butt. Number three, commercial success is the only success. So I'm bringing those up because I've absolutely 1000% had those three thoughts in my mind, sometimes all at once, over and over again throughout the years, even though I don't believe in them. Like, and there are so many more, you know, but we're going to stick with these for now. Okay, so let me break these down a little bit. Number one was, I must make money as a direct result of my work to be considered a professional. Why? Why? Who says? You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this and I was like, wait, I think Stephen Pressfield said this to a degree. I have to go back and look at his book, The War of Art. But he talks about the difference between the amateur and the professional. And I think that he might address this in some way. And I got it. Now I feel like I shouldn't even say that because I'm probably quoting it wrong. But I'm going to find out and tell you at a later episode what he said. But he does address that. And I think he addresses it because it's something that comes up for us all the time. Am I a professional? Am I really an artist? I don't know. I can't call myself a writer. I can't call myself a musician. Like, what do I know? What have I done? I mean, like, it's the worst. And also, it's like, when did we start linking money to quality? I mean, I guess in the capitalist thinking, right, it says that, like, essentially the cream rises to the top, right? Like, the best stuff is going to cut through and then people will pay for it because it's that good. But, like, okay, number one, good is subjective. And also, people paying for something is the value of something. Like, I just don't get, like, as I think through that, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, there's not a value in the sun shining on my 1 year, almost 2 year old's face, but she loves it. Like, there's not, you know, quality is not something that we can actually put a monetary figure on. We made up currency. You know, there's some things that are just, like, true. And I think I've gone off the rails with this one, but if you're with me, like, way to go. Good for you, man. You are sticking with me and I'm into it. My point is, we don't have to make money as a direct result of our work to be a professional. A day job meant, when I was 22, 3, 4, 5, 6, a day job to me meant that I was failing. I was sure I was failing because I had to work a day job. And I thought that if I was making money directly from acting, then I would be a real actor. But that's impossible because we don't have the structures and the systems set up for me to just, like, go get an acting gig, because the theaters that would hire me potentially are not supported by the system. They're not getting funding, and so there's not a lot of them, so they have to be really picky. So again, it just gets like, it gets choked, you know, the opportunities get choked. And when I was in my 20s, it was almost a point of shame, like, oh my God, I'm waiting tables, I'm bartending. Like, ew, dude, that's such an internalized an internalization of a system that undervalues art. But by having a day job, I was upholding my values. I was upholding my belief in what art can do and what I can contribute to it. And having a day job is, like, first of all, an immense privilege to be able to have a day job, to be able to have work that pays your bills, and then be able to also have the time and the attention and the mental energy and resources to pour into your craft. That's an immense privilege. And I was so blind to it. And I think there's still moments where, like, I'll get caught up in that, or I'll have a conversation with someone who's caught up in that, and it's like, yeah, you have a day job because you're funding your work, because your country, your government, your system and society doesn't. So you're doing it yourself. I mean, it's kind of baller. It's amazing. And this leads to the second point. The capitalist talking point is independent work means I'm either a hack or an iconoclast. Or let's just say also an amateur, something like that. But that's not true, because working independently means you actually can separate your artistic eye from your business eye. Again, Craig and I were having this conversation this week about, like, how to create work in a world where we're constantly posting it, and how it's so hard to kind of extract your brain from the idea of the audience in with social media, because social media is all about the audience, right? Well, I'm going to post this, and what will they say? And, oh, I think this edit people love, but this edit people aren't, like, they don't like that filter, whatever it is, right? And we were talking about how much easier it is to make art when and have your own perspective when you're not, when you just say, like, oh, I'm not going to post this, I'm not going to share this, I'm not going to put this up. It's so much easier because you're automatically just, like, zoned in on your own thought process, and you're not so obsessed with the audience. And, you know, working independently, it's not like you're not being a hack. You're literally finding your voice. And the scary thing about independent work is that sometimes it will work and it'll be great, and sometimes it really won't. It will just suck, but it'll be yours. And with independence comes a lot of freedom, and one of those freedoms is the freedom to fail. There was this quote that I had on my dressing room mirror when I did this show in New York, and I was feeling really, like, I was just trying to stay in a positive mindset because a lot of people around me were just talking about how bad the show was and how stupid this and that was, and just, you know, everyone was talking about, like, what a failure, what a failure. And I mean, truly, it was one of those moments where I was like, I'm just so happy to be here. Like, just let me enjoy this. Like, I know it's not Shakespeare. Who cares? Like, we're doing it. Let's do it. So I had this quote, this Martha Graham quote, on my dressing room mirror. This is what it is. You might have heard it. There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And there is only one of you in all time. This expression is unique, and if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, not how it compares with other expression. It is your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You have to keep open and aware directly to the urges that motivate you. Keep the channel open. No artist is pleased. There is no satisfaction whatever at any time. There is only a queer divine dissatisfaction, a blessed unrest that keeps us marching and makes us more alive than the others. So I think a lot of people, me included, think of independent work sometimes and think like, well, is it going to be good? It's like, that's not the point. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, okay? The point is we have the freedom to keep the channel open and to get better. And you can only get better by failing. Like, that's the only way. The third talking point, the capitalist talking point, is commercial success is the only success. Commercial success isn't ours. Like, it's not to say that if something that you're a part of is a commercial success, it is not to say that that success wasn't helped along by your work. And that's not to say there haven't been really good pieces of art that have also been commercial successes. That's not true. Like, there are plenty of commercial successes that are also really good pieces of art. But it just means, if you're saying commercial success is the only success, it just means then that you're measuring success by literally the cold hard cash that the project brings in. Like, that's it. Because if something is commercially successful in a capitalist culture, that means the value is money. Before people, before art, before culture, it's money. Bottom line, how much money did we make? Was it a commercial success? So when people are like, yeah, I want to work commercially, that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with saying, like, I value money and that's what I want to go after. Like, that's clear. You got it. Go to it. The system was set up for you. But I think what trips us up is when we don't actually identify with commercial success as being the only success, and then at the same time we measure our own success against how commercially successful it was. How many times can I say success in one paragraph? And I'm just bringing this one up because I often think that. I often see my friends with commercial success, or just people I kind of know with commercial success under their belts, and I'm like, oh, Court, you're doing nothing. And I will get so savage with myself, like, really bad. Like, gotta bring it to my therapist, like, real bad. And it's an internalized capitalist thinking. It's not mine. It's not my thinking. And I wanted to break all those things down because it matters how we frame things to ourselves as artists. It matters how we speak to ourselves, you know, when we're in the belly of the whale on our hero's journey. It matters because how we speak to ourselves and how we frame our experience as artists will ultimately determine how or even if we push forward. And of course, like, if we're pushing forward, then we're laying the groundwork for the next generations of artists, and onward it goes. And we're at the feet and the path laid by the people before us. So reframing those talking points. Number one, this is what I believe, and I hope you do too. Or if you don't, you can tell me. Let's have a conversation about it. But number one, if you're making your art and you have a day job, you are living the dream. So we live in a capitalist society. We can't escape that, right? Like, it's not like you can't, like, one person can't change the underlying structure of our country, you know? Like, you can't just say, like, oh, I'm not a capitalist now. I believe in democratic socialism, so I don't have to pay my rent. Like, that's not really how it works. So you find something to do to maintain what you need to maintain within the capitalist structure you live in. You pay your bills, you pay your rent, pay your water, you pay your heat, whatever you do, you pay for that stuff. And then you create the art to change that structure. This is exactly what we talk about when we talk about breaking into the system, to break it down from the inside out. So if you have your art, I heard someone talk about it once, like, it was about business, actually, about starting up your own business, but let's just translate it to art. She was saying, if you have a day job while you start your business, then you have a VC. That's your day job is your venture capitalist that's giving you money to start your business. It's the same thing with art. If you have a day job, you're getting funded. You're funding your art, right? Like, you don't have to make money directly from your art for your art to have an impact. You only need money to live in a capitalist society. That's how it works. Number two, independent work allows you to take risks and grow more deeply because it allows you to fail. The ability to fail is a freedom and a privilege. There's nothing that you can make that wouldn't be better if you fail and learn and grow a little bit more from it. Do you know what I mean? I had this conversation with my friend a couple weeks ago. It could have been 2 days ago. I don't know. This is how time works now. But my dear friend, and he was saying, I was saying, you know, I don't know that I put myself out there really. I feel like I limit myself in a lot of ways. I feel like I don't fully express myself all the time, even though that's not necessarily how people would perceive me. That is genuinely how I feel inside. And he said, you know, he was saying, I think you do put yourself out there, but I also would say to anyone and everyone, you can always go farther. He's like, you can always go farther. And it's sticking with me when he said that, because, you know, we don't want to go farther because we just don't want to fail. We don't want to look stupid. We don't want to look dumb or like we don't get it, or that we, you know, we just don't want to look wrong. And the independent work that you do, here's the good news. With independent work, sometimes not a lot of people see it, you know, so you have this freedom. You get to fail. You get to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail forward and fail forward and fail forward. And that doesn't make you a hack or an iconoclast or an amateur. It makes you an artist. That's what we do. Number three, the reframe on this one is your resume doesn't matter. I don't think your resume matters. And I don't think it matters because success has nothing to do with being an artist. You know? You can measure it however you want. You can measure success however you want. You can, you know, you can use money as a measure or longevity or breadth or depth or whatever. But the point is, like, no matter how you measure it, we don't live in a binary success fail world. We're not in a binary. So what you did or what you'll do don't really matter as much as how you are doing those things. Like the actual, like, black and white ones and zeros things on your resume are not the things that are sculpting you into the artist that you're trying to become. It's how you do it, how you fail, how you push forward, how you succeed, what it feels like, what it does to your process when something does hit. All of those things, how you do it is what matters. And capitalism would have us believe that your artistic success could undermine someone else's artistic success. If you win, that means I can't win. But that is not true. There's a third way beyond the binary of success and failure and winner and loser. And that is when a tide rises, how's it go? A rising tide lifts all boats. Did you stay with me there? So the more we do our work, the more we help raise up that tide, the more we help elevate the culture, the more room we make for each other to make something that could really, like, break the whole thing wide open. And my final thought, I guess, is just that if you feel like you have this internalized thought that is keeping you from doing the thing you want to try, it is so important to figure out, am I internalizing something that was taught to me by capitalism and the society that's set up to be kind of allergic to the arts? Or is this a true thing? Is this feeling might be real, but is it true? Is it true I can't try this? Is it true I can't just go for it? Is it true that I don't deserve to be, you know, making this thing? Or like, who do I think I am? Are those things true? Or are they internalized thought processes from a system that has never made any room for art to be at the core of it? So I'm going to wrap this up with James Baldwin, because basically everything should always be wrapped up with James Baldwin. Before I do that, I just want to ask you to, you know, if this was an interesting or helpful, thoughtful, thought-provoking episode for you, just to share it with a friend, to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you're listening to this podcast. We're on Spotify, we're on Pocket Casts. Yes, we're on a bunch of places. And to obviously subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And leave me a message. You can leave me a voice message and by clicking into the show notes, share it on social, all of that good stuff, and sign up for our newsletter, which is my little escape from social media. It's like being able to have real conversations with people without having the social media companies dictate our lives and use our thoughts and our scrolling habits against each other. You know, small things. But please, please like and all that stuff, whatever, rate, review. But to end it with James Baldwin, he was amazing. And this is what he had to say about it. Art has to be a kind of confession. I don't mean a true confession in the sense of that dreary magazine. The effort, it seems to me, is if you can examine and face your life, you can discover the terms with which you are connected to other lives, and they can discover them too, the terms with which they are connected to other people. This has happened to every one of us, I'm sure. You read something which you thought only happened to you, and you discovered it happened 100 years ago to Dostoevsky. This is a very great liberation for the suffering, struggling person who always thinks that they are alone. This is why art is important. Art would not be important if life were not important, and life is important. Most of us, no matter what we say, are walking in the dark, whistling in the dark. Nobody knows what is going to happen to them from one moment to the next, or how one will bear it. This is irreducible, and it's true for everybody. Now, it is true that the nature of society is to create, among its citizens, an illusion of safety. But it is also absolutely true that the safety is always necessarily an illusion. Artists are here to disturb the peace. They have to disturb the peace. Otherwise, chaos. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.